It was the Jewish tradition that a man would be established in life before he got married. He would have a job and have a home that he could welcome his bride into. And then he would go off to meet with the father of the bride to contract the marriage, to agree upon the terms of the marriage, and in a sense to pick up his bride from the dad and then take her back home. But you have to remember, too, that Jewish people lived in a tribal system where often they were related to each other as cousins living in a tribe. And so often when the man went to contract the marriage with his wife, then they would go around and celebrate with the different family members. And so their wedding celebrations could last from days to weeks even if they had to travel around to different towns. And when the groom left his house, he would leave instructions, if he had servants, he would leave instructions with his servants to be ready when he returned with his bride to have a big feast. Now, if any of you have ever tried to cook for guests when you don't know when they're coming, you can imagine how crazy that is and how hard that would be, you know, to be ready. And Jesus even says if they are found ready in the second or third watch. The second and third watch is between 12 a.m. and 6 a.m. Can you imagine having a meal ready at 3 a.m., right? That's the kind of vigilance that Jesus is talking about here. And so the husband would bring his bride home and expect his servants to be watching so that when they saw him coming, they could quick get the meal ready, and he could dine his new bride. And so he comes home, and I don't know if they did this back in the time of the Jews, but he might pick up his bride and carry her over the threshold. I remember the first time I saw that done, it was my uncle carrying my aunt into their hotel room after their wedding, and he hit her head on the doorpost. Explains a lot now that I think about it. But he would carry her into the house and set her down at his table. Now, this is where the story takes a twist. And I don't know if any of you caught this when you were listening to the gospel today, but it should have sounded very strange to you. You would expect the husband to sit his bride down, and he sits down next to her, and the servants start bringing food at some point, right? Even in our wedding receptions today, this is how it works, right? You have a head table where the husband and wife sit down with their wedding party and somebody brings them food. Or they're at least the first to get to go through the buffet line, right? They're treated with that kind of dignity or importance. But what does it say? And if you honestly caught this and can tell me, I'll give you all the cash in my wallet, which happens to be none at the moment, but it's the intention, right? It says that the husband, if he finds the servants ready, is going to put on an apron and have the servants sit at the table with his bride, and that the husband is going to wait on them. Seems a little strange, doesn't it? I mean, how many of you have ever been to a wedding reception where the groom shows up with his bride? They get introduced by the DJ, right? They come in, and the groom goes over and puts on an apron and has all the catering staff sit down at the head table with his bride. Doesn't happen that way, right? And yet, this is the story that Jesus tells as an analogy for the kingdom of God and for how he wants to treat you. You are those servants. And if you are found vigilant, that is, if you are ready and waiting for him to come with his bride, that is the church, then he wants you to sit at his table and he wants to serve you. And this is true not only of the end times, but it's true of right now. That you have a God who wants to wait on you. But the prerequisite for that is that you are ready and vigilant, even at 3 a.m., vigilant and waiting for his arrival. Because yes, his arrival will come at the second coming. But brothers and sisters, don't kid yourself. The arrival of Jesus Christ happens every day when you encounter your brothers and sisters. The arrival of Jesus Christ happens in this Eucharist today. Are we as vigilant as servants would be at 3 a.m. ready to welcome the husband and the bride as we are in this Mass today? Secondly, this is a reminder that the Mass that we celebrate today is a wedding feast. In fact, if you've read the Bible cover to cover, you know that the whole Bible is a story of a husband and his bride. It is God wanting to marry his people. That is us. The whole Bible, a story of marriage, and this Eucharist, the consummation of that marriage, the one flesh union of the husband and the bride. And do we prepare ourselves for it properly? Do we come ready to receive that kind of gift? Now, unfortunately, today in our weddings, in our secular society, they become a little bit of a free-for-all. But some of you remember a time when people would dress up for weddings, right? They would dress their very best. That there was a certain decorum at weddings. Yeah, you might take your fork and bang on your glass, right, to get the bride and the groom to kiss each other. But there wasn't maybe the hooping and hollering and some of the indecency of our wedding receptions today. Keep in mind, none of that is fitting for a Christian. But brothers and sisters, if you take a beautiful wedding and a beautiful reception with a beautiful dinner, something of great dignity, that's analogous to what we're trying to celebrate right here this morning. And when we talk about especially our behavior and our conduct at church, that's what we need to keep in mind. That beautiful wedding and wedding feast. That's why we dress up. That's why we arrive early. That's why we conduct ourselves with great dignity. And that's why we don't bolt at the first opportunity. Lastly, notice in our gospel today there's another strange twist. Not only will the groom come and serve the servants, but immediately after talking about the servants, Jesus transitions into talking about thieves. And you're left wondering, well, what's going to happen? Is there a robber coming on their wedding night, or what's the deal? He goes back to that theme of vigilance and kind of tells another story within a story to get across to us the point that we have to be that vigilant. If you knew that somebody was coming to your house right now to rob you, what would you do? Now you're at Mass, so I'm sure you'd stay here and just pray for the poor robber, right? But otherwise, you would call the police. You would make sure all your doors are locked. You might invite over family or friends, especially somebody who's really big and muscular, right? And to help protect you. You would take every precaution to make sure that nothing bad happened to you or your family. And you would do it immediately, wouldn't you? And that's the kind of vigilance that Jesus is asking of us in our faith. That if we knew that somebody was coming to rob us, that we would respond in the same way to that robber as we would respond with the same immediacy and the same quick-wittedness with our faith. Now, the story of the robber coming, this thief coming at night, seems a little scary, right? We're motivated by fear to want to be ready for that. And if nothing else motivates you, brothers and sisters, be motivated by fear. Jesus is coming to judge you. And we need to be above reproach. But notice the beginning of the story, that the vigilance of the servants is motivated by love. The love of a husband and a wife. The love of a servant for their master. And ideally, that's where we want to move to. When we're little kids, I don't know about you, but fear motivated, right? Fear of the belt. Fear of punishment. But we can't stay there as Christians. We can't stay there in our relationship with God. It may be sufficient to keep you out of hell, but it's not love. And brothers and sisters, Jesus has called you to a relationship of love and intimacy. Just like a husband for his wife, one of service, as we see with the groom wanting to serve his servants, and one that culminates in a one flesh union that begins, which takes place right here at this altar today. Are you ready for Jesus to come? And when you hear that question, does it put fear in you? Or does it excite love inside of you? And if it is not the latter, pray today through this Eucharist that your anticipation, your vigilance of Jesus' coming again will be motivated not by fear, but by great love.